This episode is brought to you by CBS All Access. If you don't already subscribe to CBS All Access, please use our affiliate link by going to talkthroughmedia.com/CBS. Using our affiliate link gives us a little credit, which helps us to keep bringing you great content. U.S. residents only.
Hello, and welcome to episode 13 of the Star Trek Picard cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
And we will be covering, what is it called, Ruthie?
Et in Arcadia Ego.
Okay, but what do they usually call the second to last thing?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's penultimate episode.
That's what I was looking for. Had to give you the first chance to say it. Season 1, episode 9.
I was like, why is he asking me to read the title? I never read the title. I was freaking out too. I was like, oh crap, where is it?
Why is he asking me to do this?
I know. I was like, well, I'm throwing off my game already and we're barely even started. That's okay.
Well, that's okay because I think a lot of people are throwing off their game right now.
Yeah.
So we're okay. We're sorry about the podcast being late last week. Things have been pretty stressful. Reasons. Yeah. I shouldn't have to explain it too much, but it's been just a stressful time right now. I know all of you are going through it, so you can understand. This is one thing I think that, you know, usually when people are going through stuff, they're going through it separately, but this is one thing everybody's going through this right now. So it's
kidding.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get started with something to bring up the mood, shall we? We're going to talk about feedback from the last episode before we talk about this episode. So let's open hailing frequency. Multiple frequencies. I said frequency. All right. Well, our first bit of feedback is from our good friend of the show, LT from NC. Who has something to say about last episode.
Hi guys, it's LT, and I'm calling for the Picard cast. It's sort of apropos of nothing, listening this week and listening to you guys talk about Rios and the box of pips. And this is just my take on it. Having been in two career fields where I had to have something on my collar or something on my uniform. My take on it is he's got a complete set of pips from when he was commissioned. Because every time you get promoted, he got a new set of pips. Yeah, you could theoretically just swap out a solid for a whole if you were, you know, depending on what your rank was. But, you know, I have a shoebox with all my former rank badges from the Army, and I've got a box of different things from the police department. And mainly because if you wear it for a while, it's going to get manky. And you get promoted, you want new, fresh, shiny rank. That's the only thing I can think of. They're issued in sets. Because if you remember back, God, was it Doherty getting promoted? Somebody got promoted, and they gave them a little box that had a fresh set of pips in it. I mean, that's my take on it. Most of the time, when you get a new rank, you're going to get a new set of bars, chevrons, stripes, whatever. And even though, in my case, going from a sergeant to a staff sergeant, you know, you just get a rocker, basically, but it's a new set of rank because they're shaped a little bit differently. And two, if you figure you've got those nice shiny gold pips on your collar where your neck's been rubbing on them, that, you know, they're going to age a little bit. So you want to get a nice, fresh, shiny set when you get promoted. That's my take on it. Thanks for the show, guys. Been great.
Well, thank you, LT, for your voicemail. And I think a few other people had some feedback on the pips.
Yeah, so there were a lot of people who were telling me about the pips. And I understand what all of you are saying about getting the new pips and all that stuff. Because in your particular, unless you're a general and you get stars added, most people get a different set of rank. Like, they don't just get something to add on. At least in my experience being married to someone who is in the army in the past, when he got new rank, it was a completely different thing. It wasn't like I could just add another little dot to your collar. And I don't know what kind of neck you have, LT, but I don't think their necks hang over their collars that much to rub on their pips. I've seen you before, and I know you don't either, so. But anyway, I understand what you guys are saying. I just thought, I've seen them take pips off of collars before, and I've seen them add pips on, so I didn't understand why there were so many. That's all. I just...
And every time I hear pips, I think of Gladys Knight.
And the pip. Yeah, that's right. Well, and the other thing is, in the day and age of the replicator, I wouldn't really think that you would need to have your old pips, like, kept. I mean, I would think if you were getting new ones, you would just get a new set and, like, change in your old ones like they do, like, after you've drunk out of a cup. You turn the cup in, basically, to the replicator. I would think that they would be like, ah, these pips are old and yucky. I need new ones. And they would just get a whole new set. I don't know. I just...
Unless there's something in them that can't be replicated or something. It's got gold-pressed latinum in it.
Seriously doubt that. Latinum is the only thing in that sentence that can't be replicated, so...
Right. Never quite understood why that was.
I don't know. Just to make it so that it can't be easily obtained by the Federation, I guess.
Platinum or, without the P.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think any of the pips were ever gold anyway. They were more of a silver slash steel color, brassy kind of. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm sure a lot of people are going to tell me about the pips. I can't wait.
I seem to remember somebody got a box of pips. There's something that's, I don't know. I know we've seen boxes like Data, for example, had boxes with his medals in them, but
yeah,
I seem to remember somebody getting something with pips, but I don't remember specifically.
I don't remember.
And I'm too tired to access that part of my brain right now. So
yeah.
All right. So that's it. Thank you, LT. We've got another voicemail.
Thanks, LT.
For last week. And it's Jim from Florida. Here we go.
Hey, guys. Jim from Florida here. I'm going to do something that many people don't do. I'm going to admit that I was wrong. After rewatching episode 8, it is clear that Raffi is looking for the Conclave of 8, not Soji's homeworld. Also, I did see that Picard did not contact Starfleet before the roundtable meeting, so he didn't know O was a spy yet. But that doesn't give him any excuses for episode 9, where he attempts to contact them again. But in my defense, on being completely wrong about the planet Raffi is looking for, I was slammed with work last week, and it was all I could do to even be able to sit and watch the episode, let alone really analyze it. So there's that. But going back to episode 7, when you said it was a character-building episode, that if it wasn't for Troy and Riker, he wouldn't have snapped out of his funk, I rewatched the episode again, and I am forced to agree with you. So there you have it. 2 admissions that I was wrong. Don't get used to it. Thanks for the awesome show, guys. Keep it up. And Brian, message me anytime if you want to talk about the book. Thanks, guys.
It feels good to admit you're wrong. And you do.
It only hurts for a minute.
Yeah. But anyway, Jim, thank you so much.
Yeah, we won't get used to it.
No. No.
That was funny, though.
Well, I will say, and he didn't mention this in his voicemail, but he sent me a message about with a picture of the Borg Queen, just to prove that the Borg Queen didn't have completely black eyes. So okay. I'll give you credit, Jim, and I'll say in our case, we were wrong. So, you know, it goes both ways. We got one of these. We got one of these.
Incorrect.
You know, but you did what I think a good fan does, a good, you know, someone who's really studying the show, and I've been known to do it, which is why I'm giving you credit for it. I'll go back and watch stuff and reevaluate my feelings about it. And sometimes my initial reaction is wrong. You know, some of you won't or don't watch the show, but Ruthie will remember this because she was still covering the show when we were talking about it. Here's Not Here, which was an episode of The Walking Dead that was like a special episode. Well, when it first came out, I didn't like it. And a lot of the reason why I didn't like it is because where it played in the season, it didn't seem to be the right spot. But when I went back to watch it on a rewatch, I loved it. But when I first saw it, I hated it. So, you know, sometimes it takes like a different perspective and going back and watching stuff. And sometimes also you find that when you go back in a rewatch, after some other things have been revealed later in the season, things that are going on, you know, earlier in the season that didn't rub right with you, it'll be, oh, that's what was going on. Or you'll miss little clues that were there that you didn't see. So
yeah,
it's a good thing to do. And it's also like, you know, I'll give ratings and it's how I'm feeling at the time when I give the rating, but that rating could change. And a lot of times I'll say it will change. So I have a feeling this one won't change very much though.
Yeah. I'm just glad that we were able to talk you off the ledge. That's what I like to do.
Yeah.
I want someone to do that for me for this episode, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Hint, hint. Yeah. In other words, it probably won't be me. So
yeah,
seems like the listeners like this one a lot better than we did, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Our first bit of written feedback for last week is from James, the augmented sailor. And he says, he starts it out with, just had to listen a couple of things. I know you guys have issues with saying the La Serena. It's mostly Ruthie, but I don't like it either. Because of the factor. But the ship is literally named La Serena. So when addressing it, wouldn't you have to say the La Serena since La is a part of its proper name? I mean, I guess they should maybe say the starship La Serena as kind of a tool to separate the thes. So it doesn't sound stupid, but is it necessarily wrong to say the La Serena? I don't know if it is. Then again, I'm not an English major, LOL.
Oh, man. I just noticed that nobody on the show says the La Serena. Whenever they refer to it, they don't feel the need to say the La Serena. They just say La Serena. So I don't know. But then again, I also say the La Quinta, as in the La Quinta Inn. So I don't know either. But I will give you a mini lesson on foreign languages and how funny they are. At least romance languages, which, okay, I really only know about French, but I'm assuming that all romance languages are the same because logic. A word in French can't exist without an article, either la or le. But that doesn't necessarily mean the something, it just means something. So thus endeth the French lesson for today. However, it's both weird and normal, both natural and unnatural to say the La Serena because we know that la means the, but yet we can't help putting our own English language article in front of it. So I don't know what to tell you, man. It just feels weird because I know it's the Serena, the siren, the siren.
Reminds me of the group the.
What?
There was a band in the 80s called the.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
I think they were New Wave or something.
I'm sure they probably were with that name. Anyway, that's my two cents about foreign languages. Well, I'm pretty sure this was the case in German as well. Most of the time, they have to have the article with the word. The word can't exist without the article. I think that's the case in German. However, German has three. So, anyway.
German has a lot of really long words, too. Long compound words.
They do, but it's kind of cool. You know exactly what it is because they just put the words together.
Yeah.
Kindergarten, as an example.
Right.
But I liked German a lot. It made sense to me, but that's probably because English is...
English doesn't. Of course, they don't speak English unless they speak Federation Standard.
Right. Well, just so happens that so do we.
I'm also wondering, because others were like, how did Raffi just deduce that O was half Romulan, half Vulcan? What if, even though it wasn't made aware to us as the audience, it was just known information about her from the start? I mean, yeah, she was a Jat Vash plant, but that doesn't necessarily mean that Starfleet didn't know she was half Romulan. Not all Romulans are Jat Vash or Tal Shiar. We've also seen people of a once enemy race become Starfleet officers. I mean, Worf is a Klingon. What if it's just that the story isn't unfolding with us as quite the omnipotent observer as we think we are?
I don't know, but I think that's a good point. Maybe everybody knows that she's half Romulan, half Vulcan, and they just assume that she leans towards her Vulcan side or something. I don't know. That's
a good point. I don't know. If she was like a lieutenant or something like that, I could buy it. But her being like director of Starfleet security, I don't think so. I think that she would have to be like vehemently anti-Romulan to be in that point. Like comparing her to Worf, I guess the best way I could put it is, okay, if she's Romulan and she's, you know, saying that she's part Romulan, that's one thing. But when we saw her office, it was all about Vulcan. So I'm thinking the answer is no. But the other thing I was trying to say is that Worf, for example, it's obvious he's a Klingon. He doesn't try to hide that. He doesn't try to, you know, show anything different. He's not trying to subvert that in any way. He's out there. He's Klingon, but he's in Starfleet and he has chosen that way of life and he's done it multiple times. So I think it's there. I don't see this with O, and you know, sure enough, the way that this episode ended, I think it's pretty obvious that, but anyway, we'll get to that in a bit.
Well, maybe she was trying to pretend, maybe she was or is trying to pretend like she was half Romulan, half Vulcan, raised on Vulcan. So she would be more Vulcan. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. Like, just because someone is half something else doesn't mean that they are going to be, you know, adhere to that half's, I don't know, society, etc. But it just so happens that this time she does.
Man, I feel bad for Narek. Poor guy in his bad teeth. I think that was kind of the point of his character, is that he's a dick. I don't think he's supposed to be our supervillain either. I think I smell a redemption arc for him, actually. Not necessarily a happy one, but I think now that he's out of his sister's control, I will agree, though, that some of the way his character was written was poor and made him goofy and off-putting, especially with the shoehorned teenage romance. Other than that, though, I think Treadway's performance had been solid. I don't think his performance has been lacking. It's just, I just don't feel that the way that the character was written, I don't know. He's not mustache twirling, but he's more like a James Bond type of Romulan, except for the bad guys.
James Bond villain?
You know what I mean? He's a double agent, or he's an agent, but and that's obviously what he is. But oh, and Brian, I love when you mentioned the actual Rios and the five holograms. That should be a band name.
That's funny.
Oh, and one other quick thing, the black eyes happening in the past. The only time I seem to recall the Queen's eyes going black is in the Voyager's finale, Endgame, when they infected the Queen and killed her. Don't quote me on it. I may be misremembering, but I did a Voyager rewatch last month, so I was trying to do some quick recall of that. Well, see, that's helpful, because I mentioned earlier about what Jim told me. And yeah, he mentioned the Queen in First Contact. But yeah, I was thinking it was something in Endgame, and I didn't remember. It's been a while. I keep bringing excuses about Voyager. I will eventually get to Voyager right after I'm done my TNG rewatch, but it's the show that I've watched the least of in recent years. And it's not because I don't love the show. It's just because I just haven't watched it, but it's the next one on the list. And one more thing for Ruthie. Explanation of the pips. Here we go. It's a military tradition to keep a shadow box of service. This includes showing all the ranks you've achieved. For those of us who have served, we can even go and repurchase insignias we may have lost. Shadow boxes are generally neatly organized in a great keepsake for a mantle. Rios's shadow box is definitely in disarray, and I think that's to symbolize the disarray within his own psyche. Hope that clarifies things a bit for you. Anyway, great cast as always, and Fred from the Netherlands, it was great to hear your voice again, my friend. Unfortunately, he doesn't have a voicemail with us this week, so.
Incorrect.
Yeah, he's been dealing with stuff, so he's
got things. He gets a pass. He's trying to do what he can to make
stop
sure that
the
we
apocalypse.
Don't. Yeah, if you guys don't know, Fred is a geneticist and a professor. So he's smarter than all of us put together. So
yes.
So
and he speaks multiple languages.
Yes. Anyway, we love you, Fred, and just do what you have to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like your explanation about the pips. Makes sense to me that he would have a shadow box for that. So
I like the name shadow box.
Yeah.
All right. Next one.
Pretty cool. All right. Next, we have Nick from Arizona, who gives season 1, episode 8, Broken Pieces, 2 out of 4 rolls of spello tape, which is what you use to try to tape up your broken wand, but it doesn't work. And anytime you go to hex someone, you start vomiting slugs. Or it's the roll of butcher paper you use when you can't use a projector or a teleprompter for slides or cue cards. His yes is force field and Android computer typing. His no is arroz con leche. I have no idea what that is. And his not good enough is the stupid holographic interfaces the Control 7 and La Serena crew are supposed to use. Minority Report was 2002, and even Weeds featured interesting holo interfaces. How are these ones so fake, awkward, and imprecise? They seem like oversized Lego kits for toddlers who are too small to play with normal Legos. Hugh seems like the only person who has been able to use them convincingly without their looking stupid. Question. What does the face acting suggest is going on or changing between Rios, Picard, Raffi, and Jurati? I don't understand that question.
Yeah.
Face acting?
I'm not really sure what. I think each of them are getting it together more. You know, they're kind of finding their place a little more, more confident. All of them, I think. Raffi, I think, especially because, you know, she's much more, you know, sure of herself. And she doesn't need to prove her conspiracy anymore. Her conspiracy has been proven.
Yeah.
Picard is finding himself again. Rios, you know, I think Rios has been, I think it's been pretty traumatic the last couple of weeks for him coming head on with one of his big traumas and understanding why. You know, I think I've told this on the podcast before. It was probably a Walking Dead talk through, but when I was like 19, I was engaged and my fiance broke up with me and never told me why. And that messed me up for years. I was messed up. And when something like a traumatic thing happens to you, of course, what happened to him was a lot more traumatic than what happened to me. But I can relate in that if you don't know why something's happened and you can't even figure out what happened, it'll mess you up. And I think that's what happened with him. He saw this horrible thing happen. He was asked to cover it up and he's just like, what just happened? You know, and it like goes in your mind and it just plays over and over again. And I think that's what happened to him. So I think he'd obviously feel more himself after. And I think that's what's happened here. So he feels better knowing that he understands that trauma better. I don't know. Does that explain it?
Sure.
I don't know. The holographic interfaces, I don't know. I don't really have a problem with it.
I thought they looked fine for the most part.
Yeah. Edwin from Arizona has a little point. He just said, great show, best one so far. Thank you. He was talking about our last episode. So,
yeah, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Ken from Chicago on Twitter, he says, at PicardCast, in light of last week's hashtag Star Trek Picard, it wasn't one person's grief that single-handedly disabled the Borg cube, but rather it was hashtag the admonition filtered through her mind that did so. And that's a shocking face. What is that?
Robot face,
and Spock hand, or Spock salute.
Emoji, Spock salute, Vulcan salute.
Then he says, at PicardCast, so if anyone should understand Sochi's fake memories, shouldn't it be this guy? And there's a thinking emoji and another Spock emoji, and it's an animated GIF of Picard playing his Reskin flute.
I think you might be right.
Yeah. And he also says, so once again, was hashtag Picard's comment to Soji about fake memories an error on the Raiders' part, or a clue of how bad his condition had worsened? And we see another anime GIF of him saying to that Cardassian gull, there are four lights.
Yes, he did say that.
This is me at 52 on Twitter said when we tweeted about the fact that we were going to be late last week. He said, or whoever said, your faithful listeners all hope that you and Ruthie and your families and everyone in your circle is healthy at this time. Well, we're surviving, but it hasn't been easy. I don't think it's been easy for anybody.
But we are healthy.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't talked to anyone that hasn't had some kind of...
We don't have the plague.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not sick, but this whole thing has been a difficult...
Stressful.
Yeah.
Stressful in so many ways. For everybody. Yeah. Not just late podcasts, but other stuff too.
Yeah.
It's affecting lots of people.
Yep.
But I already have a Zoom account, so I don't have to worry about that. People are like, oh, get Zoom. I'm like, Zoom's great. I use it every week.
Yep.
So there you go.
I had one thing that didn't come up last week that I thought of that I should have said, and that was, what happened to all the scientists on the artifact? I don't think I mentioned it, but it seems applicable both to last week and this week. Like, we didn't see them on the planet. And, yeah, you know, we didn't see them at all last episode, even though all this crazy stuff was going on. Like, did they just, like, send them all away, or did they kill them all? Or I don't think they killed them all, but we didn't see them go away either. So,
I think they just left that out. I think they got dismissed. Basically, it was like, see you, get out.
All right. So that's it for last episode. Finally getting to this episode. Season 1, Episode 9, titled Et in Arcadia Ego, or is it Ego? I think it's Ego. Part 1.
I think it's Ego.
Yeah. Teleplay by Michael Chabon and Ayelet Waldman, I think. That's how you say it, or is it Ayelet?
I have no idea.
Story by Michael Chabon and Ayelet Waldman and Akiva Goldsman, and directed by Akiva Goldsman. And I wanted to see which episodes he had directed, because I knew he directed a couple from Discovery. He directed Season 1, Episode 3, Context is for Kings. That's, of course, the first episode where you actually see Discovery. And Season 1, Episode 15, Will You Take My Hand? And he'll also be directing next week as well. So the runtime is 45 minutes and 33 seconds. So not as much as the last few episodes. The description from CBS.com, following an unconventional and dangerous transit, Picard and the crew finally arrive at Soji's home world, Coppelius. However, with Romulan warbirds on their tail, their arrival brings only greater danger as the crew discovers more than expected about the planet's inhabitants. And that's TVMA with language, the air date. Well, came out March 19th, but on CBS.com. It says March 18th. Did that thing again where it came out at 2:06 a.m. Eastern time. And I didn't know where to put this one, but it seemed appropriate to the episode, starting the episode. So Ken from Chicago, he said, you were both discussing the upcoming episode titles. And Brian mentioned that he didn't know what Et in Arcadia Ego was, the title of the what?
Penultimate.
And ultimate episodes of hashtag Star Trek Picard season one meant other than the title of a Dutch painting. Well, I hope the season ending two-parter is as good as the anti-penultimate episode was. Thumbs up, rolling on the floor laughing, and Spock hand emoji, which had been even better than the pre-anti-penultimate episode was. Hashtag, okay, I'll stop now. Well, we got close to a 47 on spot to 47. I did that thing I did for the first episode. I started counting the names in the credits because I thought we had a chance, but it got to 44.
Aww, I'm sorry.
All right, Ruthie, we've hinted at it, but what did you think of this episode?
I didn't really like it. I'm just going to give the episode an 8. I didn't think it was that great.
Yeah.
8 is not great.
I didn't think it was that great either. I mean, I'm still going to give it an 8, but, you know, that says a lot. It's definitely my least favorite of the season.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give it 8 hints at season 2, and I'll get to that later.
Honestly, depending on next week, my rating might drop more. I don't know. I'm not hopeful.
Yeah, it the same for me.
I didn't want to come out of the gate and say 4, but that's kind of how I was feeling when I watched it the second time. I was just irritated. Anyway, my very top of my notes says, I'm not quite sure there was one thing I liked about this episode, to be honest. That was the very first thing I wrote down when I was rewatching it. I was like, oh my gosh. But of course, I did find a couple things, so there you go.
All right, so getting to listener ratings, James the Augmented Sailor said, Et in Arcadia Ego is 9.1. They just hit us with a flower.
Jim from Florida says, Et in Arcadia Ego Part 1 is an 8 out of 10. The return of Dr. Soong, well, his son, or clone, but it's Brent Spiner in any case.
Fred from the Netherlands seemed to like it more. He gave it a 47 out of 51. Somebody's asshole Romulan X's, which works out to a 9.2 out of 10.
Yeah. Edwin from Arizona gives it an 8.6. Are you going to help clean up or make a mess?
Comic Geek Kev, using the feedback form, I give this episode 9.5 out of 10, knives in a perfect golden eye. I took off 0.5 for the lack of 7 screen time.
Makes sense. Brian from Hawaii says, I give this one 9.6 old school tricorders.
Rick from Cleveland said, this is an episode I had to watch a few times to appreciate. Final rating is 8 out of 10 generations of sheer hubris from the Soon family.
All right. LT from NC says, giving this one a 9.75 out of 10 parched organics of a certain age.
And lastly, Nick from Arizona gives it a 9.9 android/cyborgs to camera. All right, so let's get to our yeses.
Yes!
James the Augmented Sailor says, Asung, where has he been all these years? Indeed.
Yeah.
That's like my one big question about this guy. Picard's negotiating skills are still sharp, even if not very effective in this situation. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, well, he had a very determined opponent. Well, two. Anyway, Jim from Florida says, the return of Dr. Soong, as earlier stated. I love seeing Brent back in Trek, even though this new character has a very strong lore vibe instead of Data. This was the most Picard episode yet. I really felt like the old Picard is back, the curious diplomat who always stands up for his sense of morality. I absolutely loved the bridge scene when Picard comes in and asks for status. I felt like we were back on the bridge of the Enterprise. The plot that the message left was for synths and that organic life was unable to process it, and that's what drove them insane, was believable. I believe someone in this group postulated that idea already. Hashtag someone was right, but I don't know who. I also loved the first contact with synth society. This has got to be the most Star Trek scene in the series so far.
Then we have Fred's visual yeses. He says, first, Soji's first look at her homeworld. And we're seeing these descriptions without looking at the pictures, so we can't really explain, but they'll be on the blog post. The Borg cube coming through the transwarp conduit. Yeah, I thought that was cool.
I had that. Yeah, that was one of my yeses also.
Yeah. The bogeys that captured La Serena and the Borg cube. They reminded of physalis instead of orchids, by the way. I think that's a picture of a physalid. I don't know. I'm not very good with that kind of stuff. So the stranded La Serena. Oh, like sunken in the ground. Yeah, that was kind of cool looking. Mm-hmm. Soji in a tank top. Now, Fred, we're men. We can't help it. Seven of Nine looking down at the landing party reminds me of the scene where Lore was looking down on a landing party and having the control over some disconnected Borgs. Close up of Seven when she says to Picard, keep saving the galaxy, Picard. I have more on this later, by the way.
Mm, yeah.
I want to talk about that. View from the hill on Capellia Station. Yeah, that I remember that. That was a cool visual. Mm-hmm. Close-up of Sutra looking at Agnes with Rios unsharp in the background. I think I know what he's talking about, and I think that is a good one, too. She was very like sultry looking, I guess you could say.
Mm. Yes.
Like a femme fatale.
Yep.
Sutra and Soji.
A fembot.
There you go. Sutra and Soji in one frame. Quite Orphan Blacky, by the way. Yeah, it was. Oh, in her warbird. Yeah, yeah. All right. Now I'll just say this next one because it's really quick. Edwin from Arizona just simply says yes to Synthville.
Yep. I guess he liked that. Next, we have Brian from Hawaii. He says, the visual effects and scenes in this episode were particularly stunning. It felt epic. Picard was even more like his old self, more than once taking charge and managing the situations. I smiled when he showed ample optimism and compassion by ordering Narek to be beamed to sickbay for treatment, even though he was their enemy. That's the Picard I remember. And finally, I loved that there was a Spot 2 cat. My daughter asked if they're using the same feline actor as the one from TNG. I said, probably not. Yeah, yeah, that would be a dang old cat.
Oh man. Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, there were multiple Spot cats. They didn't use the same one, even in TNG.
They didn't even use the same breed in TNG.
Right.
It was crazy. I remember the first time I saw him doing my most recent rewatch, I was like, man, I remember him being an orange tabby. He was later.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Rick from Cleveland is next. He says, yes, for Raffi continuing to be the glue that binds it all together and helps everyone. Between her emotional scene with Picard and how she took Soji under her wing, warning against homicidal fungi and an asshole Romulan X, I love this character more each week.
I agree.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. Yes, for the exchange between Seven and Picard, where he seemingly passes the baton on saving the galaxy. Okay, so this is the second part of this exchange, and I guess I will stop it right there, and I know you also like this, right?
I did like that.
I think that this was a clue. First part of the clue is, I think we're going to keep seeing Jerry Ryan. The question is, what now? We know that there's this other show that they're working on that we have no hints. There were two shows. Everyone thinks it's Pike for one of the two shows, and that stands to reason. It'd be crazy if they didn't make a Pike show. But what if the next show is Seven of Nine?
I don't know. Seven and the Fenris Rangers?
Maybe.
That sounds like a good band name.
Yeah. So I'm thinking it's either this or they're hinting that she's going to be like a full-time cast member of season two, or, and this is radical.
I would not hate.
Yeah. The next thing is radical. Either he's going to die at the end, like next episode, and the show will continue as Star Trek Seven of Nine or something like that. And season two will actually be starring Jeri Ryan, and Patrick Stewart won't be in it at all. Now,
That's pretty radical.
It is. And I don't think that that's going to happen. And James, the augmented sailor, don't start cursing me if this happens. But I think that they're basically hinting that something is going to happen with Seven of Nine. And I would put a lot of money on it at this point. So either she's going to be part of season two, or they're going to make a new show with her as a star, or both. And when I say both, she could end up doing like Giorgio and Michelle Yeoh and start out with a bigger role in Picard, and then they spin it off into a show. But I'm certain at this point, like 99.9999%, that either she's going to be part of season two or she's going to be in her own show. So we'll find out.
All right. Yeah.
And lastly, Ken from Chicago just says, a giant flower with a bunch of yes, 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 and yes. So I think that's what he was talking about, but that was in a separate tweet. So can't say for sure. All right. Our yeses. And I think you said that you didn't have any. So.
No, I gave the two I had.
Yeah.
Pretty much. That's pretty much it.
Just a couple of things. La Serena has a phaser beam more similar to what we're used to on a Federation starship. So I'm tired of the pew, pew, pew ships and guns.
I agree.
Yeah. Give me old school. So like the Romulan snakehead or whatever had the pew, 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 which is not like the ones that they used to have. I liked the speech that Picard gives, basically announcing his condition. Ending with, anyone who treats me like a dying man will run the risk of pissing me off. Now, see.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Him saying pissing me off, well, there aren't a lot of people that would consider pissing me off to be a curse word, but it's, I don't know, adjacent a curse, but.
Cursing adjacent.
Yeah. It's not. It's certainly not a curse. And, well, an a-hole is kind of borderline, but.
No, but, asshole is definitely a curse.
Okay. Well, anyway, pissing me off, though, to me, if he used any stronger words.
Very mild.
Yeah, if he used any, F-bombs or anything, I would not like that. But pissing me off, I think it works. And then I liked that the message was meant for synthetics. That was rather surprising to me. So when it was announced that way, I liked it. Now, we will talk more about this in detail because there are certain parts of this that I didn't like at all. All right. For our nose.
No!
James, the augmented sailor, says, well, Brian from Hawaii, here's the Xanadu chic fashion sense went to ugh. The aesthetics of their planet are just awful. It felt like wardrobes from TNG mashed up with the space hippies from TOS. Are you one, Herbert? I mean, Jean-Luc? Yes. Soong's all gung-ho about, I mean, I realize he's wanting to do a mind transfer, but geez, man, to just be like, yeah, kill organics? That's a bit extreme. I would agree with that. Sochi's relative, I forget her name now, guessing she's like an aunt or cousin to her. That's, of course, Sutra. Killing another synth to push wiping out organics? I mean, she just got knowledge that the Romulans were coming and that the ancient synths will work to wipe our organics to protect them. That's a bit of a snap judgment. I mean, I guess it was an eternity for an android, but come on. Picard's argument was compelling, and she knew that at least this crew has no desire to hurt them. Wouldn't that be representative that there's really no reason to wipe everybody out and that peace could be a possibility? Set an example for the ancient synths and Romulans, guys. Come on.
Yeah, I cannot disagree. I feel like she was a bit too trigger happy, so to speak.
And then lastly, he says, Jurati is pure wishy-washy. She has really become a flake to me. She just went from wipeout synths to wipeout organics with quickness. How about, I know, slow your damn roll, Agnes. My theory here is that she's playing both sides here again and that she's going to work on Soon and the synths to get them to see reason. But if hashtag James isn't right, this will be a huge no for me.
Well, you're not wrong.
I mean, I understand why she would want to stay because, I mean, she's someone whose life's work's been taken away from her, but...
And then kind of given back.
Yeah. Then at the expense of, like, killing all other sentient organic life forms, probably a little extreme. I would agree with you on that. But I wouldn't be surprised if she's got something in her head, but haven't really seen that. We haven't really seen her to be secret planning, I guess. Although, I guess killing Maddox was secret planning. I don't know.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know either. I don't know. So many things wrong this episode. I just can't really put my finger on all of it. All right, Jim from Florida says, I stated in a different group that the synth Rios' captain killed was going to have a sister, and she was going to be the destroyer, and that Soji was going to have a data lore moment. Which one are you, the one that dies or neither? The destroyer was back on her home world. Now Soji is being pushed to follow her people, and I cannot help but feel that this episode has a strong connection with Descent, Season 6, Episode 26, Season 7, Episode 1, where Data is given emotions by Lore and is forced to betray Picard. I'm not sure if I like that direction, but it is what it is. So, yeah, in other words, the one who dies was Janna, and the destroyer was Sutra. Is Sutra. Will be Sutra. Okay, now this is a big one for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Jim says, another issue I had was the synth teaching herself how to mind meld. So this is just a skill you can learn. Even a synth can learn it. Too easy, but I guess they had to make it easy because they have to move the plot along. But I would have been happier if they would have used a machine to collect the memory. They have had memory machines in Star Trek in the past. Plus, they have a machine that can transfer consciousness with a few modifications. Do you see my point? This also completely eliminates the possibility of Rafi deducing that O is a half-Vulcan, half-Romulan by her ability to mind meld. So how did Rafi know this? The Monty Python way. It's written that way. That was funny. Oh my gosh. I cannot even express how much this is a huge no for me. There were a lot of people who also had this, but most of them, it was in their not good enoughs. Although I don't know why it should have been in their nose, I think. But anyway, James the Augmented Sailor said this in his not good enoughs. Soji's relative, whose name I forgot, can mind meld. That's Sutra. I mean, sure, I would assume that anyone with telepathic or empathic genes might be able to learn the discipline because of predisposition, which is why it's not really a stretch for a Romulan. But a synth that's created from a positronic neuron and what I'm assuming was human DNA, I can't buy into it. It's like saying that given some discipline, a human could learn it. This almost got a no from me, but maybe they'll explain it. I would have been happier with some kind of human synth interface. This would have also helped me wrap my head around bathing silicon infected cells in a positronic matrix. Mm-hmm. Brian from Hawaii says this about the mind meld and his NGE. An android can do a mind meld. This is the first time in canon that any non-Vulcan or non-half-Vulcan has done that. I'm deducting 0.3 points just for this. Did Soong somehow crack the problem of telepathy? If so, that's a big deal, which warranted at least a mention. There was a hint of that when one of the synths told Rafi, just use your imagination, or something to that effect, in reference to the handheld gizmo she gave her to fix the ship. I also had a problem with that. But anyway.
Oh, yes, the handheld gizmo.
Yeah, I didn't. I was like, what? She's like, how does this work? Just use your imagination. What? In other words, hand wave, hand wave. Oh, anyway, Rick from Cleveland also had this in his Not Good Enough. He says, anyone who studies Vulcan teachings enough can do a mind meld? No, not without some telepathic ability. And anyone who revered Vulcans would know that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. This group of synths are the few. That's true. So, yeah, that's not really working for Sutra, is it? All right. Also, LT from NC had this in his Not Good Enoughs. I have one not good enough. No matter how much I like the idea of Sutra, I have a problem with a positronic brain knowing how to mind meld. Yeah, because it can't. Unless the positronic brain somehow has psionic abilities, which it doesn't.
My response to the mind meld was, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. And I liked it even less the second time.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, I just wanted to be like, what the are you doing? It's this to me. This right here is akin to what they did with the Klingons in Discovery. That's how much I hate it.
Yeah.
And they just completely f***ed it all up and made it canon that an android can mind meld.
Yeah.
No, they can't.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, now androids can mind meld. Like, why couldn't they have made this some kind of technological mind meld? Like, in other words, you know, they put something that they can interface with on her and read her that way or something. Like, you know, put like a skull cap on her or something, you know.
I don't know. I mean, they're already doing, like he said, the working on the brain transfer thing. Surely it wouldn't be that hard to read someone's mind. But I just, oh my gosh. This is such a wrong turn. It turns my stomach. It makes me cringe. I just want to slap every single person who thought this was a good idea in the face and ask them what the hell they were thinking. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I can't really say much more than that because that was pretty much, I didn't get it. I think it was the weird part about it is when it first happened, my reaction to it wasn't entirely negative, but after I realized that it's over and essentially what she just did was a Vulcan mind meld, I was like, what?
Yeah, I had the same reaction. Like, my initial thought wasn't complete revulsion. It was only after it sunk in what they had done.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the thing for me. Once I realized that they had done this, I just was like, that was a mistake. That was just a wrong turn. They should have not done it. And I think that they could have done it in a much more technologically acceptable way than, like, I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't either. It makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
And honestly, oh man, I just, at this point in time, I'm so pissed off. I'm not sure how to come back from this. I just really cannot believe the sheer stupidity of this. I'm really having a hard time with it. And
so in other words, it's a no from us.
Yeah. I didn't like it.
Yeah. I didn't either. I think that they could have done this in a much more acceptable way and got the same result. So
yeah.
Fred from the Netherlands is next. By the way, I think we'll probably end up uncovering more comments about this, but those are the ones that we could find.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, a big no is Narek, period. I agree, but you know, I've kind of been saying that all along, and you know, it's, I don't think it's got nothing to do with his acting. It just, I don't know, just this emo Romulan doesn't work for me.
The character just isn't doing it for me.
Yeah. Another no is no Nerissa in this episode.
Yeah. I don't really like her, but I much prefer her to Narek. I don't know. She's like evil in a good way, I guess. I don't know. I don't know.
She's grown on me. I didn't like her very much at the start. I think that last episode helped me a little bit, but
yeah, agreed.
I think that I would have much rather have seen her captaining the Romulan Warburg than O, because I've got a whole bunch of questions about that.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
I'll take the next one as well. Brian from Hawaii says the giant space orchids were weird. I give the writers points for creativity on this, though. I couldn't tell if they were harming the ships or protecting them during atmospheric entry.
I give them no points for creativity. It was not, that was another big, huge, like, what the hell is happening right now? Giant space flowers? What? And what was their point?
Yeah.
What were they there to do?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Help the ship land gently on the planet? Because it could have done that without their help. Most ships can.
That was my take. You know, I asked myself, like, what kind of weapons are these orchids? All they do is grab these ships and then they burn off. How is that efficient? Like, why would they build?
It's a one-time use weapon.
Yeah. If they're an orbital defense system, why would they build a one-time use defensive weapon? You know, so another ship comes and they've got to build another one. It's stupid.
Yeah. And it can't even handle something the size of a Borg cube. So,
yeah.
You're effed.
It needs multiple cubes, multiple orchids. Yeah.
Well, more than they sent up, because all it did was, I don't even know. I don't even understand. Why would you? I mean, you want them to. So it made the cube crash land on the planet because there were two, it was too big for them. But then the others, it just kind of disabled the ships and helped them gently land on the planet or something. I mean, the Rios' ship was disabled, but it wasn't like it was crashed into a million pieces.
Right.
So, again, I don't get the point. I don't know. And the whole, we can make more. I'm like, why don't you already have more?
Exactly.
And I thought that was funny when she said, please say 218. Because I was like, well, yeah. I mean, if you're going to have a whole planetary defense... I mean, they said it was smaller than the Earth. Their planet was smaller than planet Earth.
Yeah, right? Smaller and denser, they said.
Smaller and denser. Okay, so how big is planet Earth? Cubic, whatever.
I don't know.
Oh, come on, Brian.
It's the size of Earth.
Oh, thanks. It is smaller than Jupiter.
Smaller than Jupiter, yes.
And Saturn.
And Saturn.
Most of the planets in our solar
larger
system.
Larger than Mars.
Larger than Mars.
Venus and Mercury.
Yeah. I think it's about the same size as Mars, isn't it? Mm. Or is it about the same size as Venus?
It might be
the
same.
It's about the same size as one of them. I think it's Venus. Okay. In any case, it would take a lot more than 15 or however many they had to cover this planet. Oh, I just don't get it. It makes zero sense. Sure, it looked cool-ish, but I mean...
We're both right. It's Venus. It's not the same.
Venus. Yeah. Well, anyway. I just... No creativity points, because to me, that's not creative. That's just dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, and Mars is half the size. So.
Well, all right then. So how big is Earth, if you're looking at something?
It has a diameter of 12,750 kilometers.
Okay, so a little bit more than 5 or 15 of space flowers.
a little more than 15 space flowers, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially space flowers that can't take on, I mean, size-wise, we're talking about a space flower that's smaller than a cube, which is drastically smaller than the Earth. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that the idea was cool, but it's only cool if the flowers can regenerate themselves or
it's only cool like that. If you don't think about it.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
And like, I wonder when this was co-written by Ailette Waldman, who's Michael Chabon's wife. And I'm wondering how much of this is on her versus how much of this is on him.
I don't know. One of them needs to be slapped.
Yeah.
Maybe both. I don't know. Because the other one let the one do it. I'm talking both the mind meld and the space flower.
I agree.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just, I'm disappointed.
You guys seem to like it more than we did. We're pretty much on the same page on this.
Just dump this episode in the trash and not even care.
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
But we're still giving it an 8, though. I'm trying to figure that one out.
I don't know why. Well, it's because my ratings are arbitrary. I should have given it a 4. I was being nice.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't know. Like,
there were a few redeeming qualities, but not
many. Yeah. There was enough redeeming qualities to not make it, you know.
The first 15 minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was complete garbage.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. I can't wallow.
Well, he says, why did the Borg cube crash into the planet? Couldn't they have just stayed in orbit? Well,
obviously the space flower did something to it, so it lost altitude.
Right. 7 was underutilized in this episode, and I didn't like how no one seemed to mourn Hugh.
I agree. She was drastically underutilized.
I have more on the Hugh part in my nose. But I would generally agree. And, you know, some indicated that she was underused last episode. And I thought that she had an important, you know, she wasn't in a lot of scenes, but she had a really important role in it. This one, though, she seemed more like an afterthought, you know.
Yeah, like they had to show her because we know she's on the cube.
Right. Seeing more context of the admonition was helpful, but it does nothing to explain why Agnes felt like she had to kill Maddox.
That's true.
I can't disagree with that either. It was sweet when Raffi hugged Picard and said she loved him, but Picard's reaction was utterly bizarre. He froze, looked really uncomfortable, uttered something awkwardly, and only after he walked away said he loved her too as a sheepish afterthought. What's going on? Well, I don't know.
Awkward with his feelings.
He is. And this isn't...
He's kind of always been that way.
Yeah, this is one thing that it may seem kind of awkward, but he's always been that way. Like, I was thinking of...
Standoffish.
Yeah, like Vash. Not the shot Vash, but when Vash came on the Enterprise, like, nobody knew about her. You know, he never said anything about her. And
she was like, what gives? And he's like, I don't
show emotions
very well.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. So I think that's what's going on there. Rick from Cleveland says, no for yet another Soong family member who has homicidal children. Eric Soong had the augments. Noonien and Soong had Lore. Now we've got Alton.
Yeah, I don't know why they had to go to the well of the Soong family. It's like it's like, hey, Brent Spiner, do you want to play another Soong character so you don't have to wear the makeup? Of course, when he played Noonien Soong, he was had a lot of makeup, probably more than he ever had, but
he was aged out.
Yeah.
Well, when he played him as an old guy, sometimes he played him as a young guy. All right. He also says no for the rapid pivot from the synths wanting to live in peace to kill all humans after the mind meld, or all organics, you know, not just humans.
I hated this myself. So
me too.
Yeah.
I thought, what the heck?
That really left a bad taste in my mouth.
I know. Like, let's consider out of the entire universe, what percentage 218 ships are. and those people are coming to kill you dead. And so you've decided to write off the other millions, billions of people on the planet or in the universe. Okay, sure. Why not? That makes complete sense, especially for creatures who are supposed to be logic based.
Yeah.
I have a theory and I don't know if it's right, but
go ahead.
Well, I don't know if this is the right time to say it, but okay. I guess okay. I might as well.
Well, if you want to wait, you can wait.
If I wait, I might forget.
Okay.
I just kind of feel like Soong is actually Lore. And I think Sutra was made from his positronic brain. Because if Data could have aged himself, then Lore could as well.
Yeah.
And if they could make people look like human with human skin, then Soong or Lore could get an upgrade. I don't know.
The only thing against that is that why does Alton need an android body?
I don't know. That's why I say it's not really a great theory, but
well,
it's the only thing that I can think of that explains this attitude.
I have
maybe he's just pretending that he doesn't really need an android body. He's just pretending he does because he's playing the part of Alton Inigo, whatever, Soong, but it's really Lore.
I have another explanation for this, but it's similar. I'm thinking that Lore was based on the memory engrams or whatever that Noonien Soong did on Alton. So his flawed character was based on Alton, right?
Ah.
So that's what I think it happened here. So it's not that he's playing Lore. Lore was based on him. And so he's got all the crazy personality, villainous traits that Lore does because Lore was based upon him. That's my thought.
That makes, I guess, more sense, but I'm like, where the heck did this guy come from though? I'm like, how do you explain that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's another problem that I have is like these, you know, Quaker instant Soongs.
Yeah.
Like, we've never heard of this guy. You know, he's not in the Spock family. He's not in the Spock family. So he's not, you know, some long lost brother or sister that we didn't know. You know, but it's like Data never mentioned this, you know, like we never heard Soong mention this. Obviously he's not, well, this is one of the questions that I asked Michael Chabon. I mentioned this last week. He's been answering a lot of questions on Instagram, and he answered 6 of my questions this week. So we'll go through that later. But, and that was one of them I asked about him and who his mother was, whether it was Juliana or not, Tainer.
I don't know. I mean, she certainly didn't know about him. She probably would have mentioned, oh, by the way, it was just all about Lore and Data.
Yeah.
I still don't understand how they got this single neuron from Data.
I don't either.
He was destroyed on the Romulan ship. It's not like they had a copy of his brain somewhere.
I'm thinking that they got that before his death.
Yeah, but how? Why? When? For what purpose?
To make more? You know, to study it? That's what I'm thinking.
But I kind of feel like, wouldn't he need those neurons?
Apparently not.
I mean... This doesn't make any sense to me. This is one thing. This is a problem I've had the entire time. I'm like, where did they get this neuron that they split in fractal cloning?
Neurons are us.
I guess. But as far as I know, there was only one source of these neurons from Data.
Exactly.
This is another issue that I've had with the story. And I may have said it before. I can't recall. But...
LT from NC says, my newish is the ship eating orchids. So we missed that earlier. It was a cool idea, but the more I thought about it, the more it bugged me. But considering we've had giant space amoebas, giant Abraham Lincolns, magic giant ship-grabbing deity hands, giant space jellyfish that imitated space stations, I let it go.
You're more generous than I am, LT.
I was just going to say that.
I was just too irritated. All right. Next, we have Nick from Arizona who says, no, seven kicking bodies down the gangway and asking if y'all came for spring cleaning to help out. Okay.
Okay. All right. It's time for our no's. What do you have? What don't you have?
Oh, gosh. I just can't get behind the message of the admonition personally. Like, I understand that I'm okay with the who the message was meant for, but the what of the message, call us, we'll come exterminate life for you.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I didn't like that either.
What? Okay. Because apparently all organic life is jealous of synthetic life. Okay. Generalize much? Oh, man. I have no idea what's happening right now, and I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, this took a... I'm still trying to figure out why it's an 8 for both of us.
I don't know, because I'm trying to be charitable.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. This could go way down for me, because... All right.
I didn't want to shock you by saying 4. That's why.
But we were in agreement. I think we knew going in.
I know.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. I did not like the he must have extrapolated blah, blah, blah crap. I think you had that.
Yeah. If Narek extrapolated where they were going based on their last course and position, well, La Serena was not going to the transwarp conduit when he lost the tracker.
Yeah, so, they were going to Nepenthe.
Right. They were going to Nepenthe. So he should
have ended up at Nepenthe.
Right. Right.
But how would he have known that they ended up at Nepenthe? Oh, there's no way. Sorry, Soji. There's no way he could have extrapolated where they were going.
Yeah, and for that matter, like if he thought that they were going, like if he was able to figure out, oh, from this planet, I would go here to get to a planet that has two red moons. He still wouldn't know about the transwarp conduit. So it doesn't make any sense.
No, because he would have had to have, well, he would have had to have been, I guess, the only thing I can say is that he would have had to have somehow followed them to Nepenthe and then followed them wherever they were
leading. Yeah,
but
and they,
if they, weren't they even discovered going there. Him the first time, why didn't they discover him again?
Well, that's the whole thing. It's like... I don't understand the cloaking device in this show either, because it's like we even see it in this battle. It's like he's cloaked, but how come they can still see him? I don't get that.
I don't know. It's like they forgot what a cloak is. Oh, or somehow it acts differently.
Or but they should at least say, oh, our anti-cloak isn't working or something like to explain it. But it doesn't. It makes that. That made no sense. But the thing is, we talked about this about, you know, he wouldn't know that they were going to the transwarp conduit. They were going after Nepenthe, they were going to Deep Space 12. And then they course corrected to the warp transwarp conduit. You know, that was something that Soji did. So
well, we're assuming that he picked them up at Nepenthe, that he extrapolated to Nepenthe.
Right.
So once he gets them at Nepenthe, then he can follow them anywhere, no matter where they're going. But why didn't they know that he was following them?
Yeah.
They knew when he was tracking Agnes, they knew.
Yeah. So why didn't they know before? It doesn't make sense. Like, unless
none of this makes sense.
Unless he was following without his cloak, which, again, makes no sense.
No, because they would have had his warp signature.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't know either. This was just one of the flimsiest explanations I've seen in a while, honestly. Again, hand wave. He found us because it was written that way. I didn't like it. Still don't. I need someone to explain to me why. Okay, so fine. He extrapolated to Nepenthe and he picked them up at Nepenthe. Why didn't they know that he was following them? Not only... following them from Nepenthe to DS-12 and then going to the transwarp conduit.
Doesn't make any sense.
Still following them, and yet they don't know somehow for reasons. They don't know this time.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't.
I don't know. I don't know. I just.
It's almost like the team was writing separately and they weren't really paying attention to what the other ones did. Cause it doesn't, like, from episode to episode, it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't. So
yeah.
I don't know. Like I was really gung-ho after the last two episodes, but I don't know. I'm hoping they can make a turnaround here for this finale, but this episode was a mess. I mean,
it was just a,
like, listeners, I've only given one no so far. I have another 9. Some of them may be canceled out. So actually I see one of them I think is canceled out, but one thing about the orchid, okay, that I didn't understand is why couldn't they reverse course?
I don't know. Oh no, this thing is coming at us. I mean, it was almost as though it happened too quickly, but it didn't.
Yeah. Did I mention control yet?
Nope. But I did read that somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Okay, so getting back to this whole, like, twist about, oh, we're going to come and wipe out the organics. Doesn't this just sound like control? You know, it just sounds pretty like much. It's too much like Discovery Season 2. And I don't like it for that. And I also don't. It's like, oh, you have trouble? Call the Roto-Rooter Man or something. Exactly. It's just, you know, give us a call. Oh. We'll wipe them out for you, you know?
Yeah.
You got a termite problem? Call Terminex or whatever.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And plus, this whole AI is going to wipe us out storyline is so old. So overdone, overplayed, overused.
Enough.
I mean,
this.
I'm sorry to say, but it's been done before and better.
And I much preferred the idea of the AIs or the synths being persecuted and all that. But for them to turn it around and go on the offense here, I would have much preferred it if they had just taken Picard's thing and let him be an advocate for them and the story go that way. I don't want to see a big space battle of evil synths from the universe and giant flowers and
evil synths from the universe. These people are outside of space and time.
Okay.
So we don't even know where they're from.
Maybe they're species 8472. I doubt it.
No, but species 8472 was so cool.
Yes, it were.
I mean, that was something that was outside of space and time that was cool. Like,
yeah.
Do that, okay? Not this. This is, oh gosh. Oh, okay, let's move on. I just can't.
What else? Do you have anything else? Or do you want to take any of mine?
Let's see here. Hang on a second, I'm reading. Honestly, I'm sure we've already said this, but it did seem like a bit of a retcon with the Soong son.
Mm.
Don't you think?
It definitely did seem like a retcon. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Let's see. Oh, gosh. I think I already said this, but it fixes things. You have to use your imagination.
Yeah.
Like, and what?
There's a problem right there. Like
no.
It fixes things. Just use your imagination.
Real. How does it work?
Is it like, you know, rubbing a genie lamp or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, no, seriously, how does it work?
Like, if it's like a replicator that's activated by your mind or something like that, like, what if you don't know how something works? Or what if you're, like, twisted and you think of something that is, you know, not exactly what you wanted or something?
Honestly,
like that?
This feels like the Green Lantern's ring.
Okay.
So I was like, what? Just use your imagination. No, thank you. This is not the Green Lantern. Oh, I didn't like that. Let me see if I can find something else. I still don't like Narc. Ugh.
All right. I mean, yeah. I've got so many. We still haven't gotten to my biggest one that we haven't gotten to yet.
All right.
Okay. How does taking a pin through an eye take out a synth? How does that kill that synth? wouldn't you just replace the eye? It's not like a brain, you know, like.
Unless he drove it so far into her, it so far into her eye that it somehow destroyed her brain. I mean, we've seen Data go through some stuff.
Yeah. That's that's what I don't understand. There's no way that
he was electrocuted and buried alive and they brought him back to life. Yeah,
exactly. And for that matter, you know, his head was under San Francisco for what? 400 years?
Yes.
And still brought back to life.
Reattached it like nothing and boom, easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Yeah. So it doesn't make any sense. That was
no, just it does not
talk about substandard work. Maddox and Sung, you guys just don't know how to make a sturdy android. Okay.
Yeah, no kidding. Like the apple fell far from the tree on that one.
How about this one? So they put Picard under house arrest because he can give a good speech. So
that's exactly
that's
why.
The reason that's the reason. And they're gonna say, oh, okay, like, are these since that naive and gullible,
simple-minded? Yes. Yes,
unbelievable.
Sutra has an agenda, and whatever does not fit her agenda is going to basically be put on lockdown. Like saying that the Federation is exactly like the Romulan Empire.
Yeah, there's no way.
Really?
No way.
Do you know what the Romulan Empire is like? Because really, the whole Mars attacks thing was the Romulans.
Yeah.
So that, and the whole like, we must give up their position thing, I'm pretty sure that was also the Romulans.
Well, and also the whole synths ban. I mean, it wasn't, okay, you can blame the Federation for that, but they were manipulated into that.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
The synth ban. I said something else. I meant synth ban. Sorry.
Yeah.
My brain not working good.
I have two about Picard himself. So there was one thing he said, which was very confusing to me. And it wasn't corrected. Like, they didn't bother to correct him when he said it. He said, and I think he was talking to Hugh about it. He says, it must have taken appalling brutality to turn just a gentle soul to violence.
Like, he's talking to Seven, I think, about Hugh.
Yeah. So, and she doesn't correct him. So she thinks that Hugh did this? Like, I don't get it.
No, I don't think that. But I'm not quite sure what violent act of Hugh's that he's talking about.
Well, he didn't, like, yeah, he wanted to take the cube back or whatever, but he never got a chance to do that. So I don't.
His idea to do it. So maybe that. I don't know. I feel like they cut a lot of this episode that they should not have. And again, why? Why would you do that? You don't have a designated time slot.
And it also seems like they, like, that line seems like it was a victim of a rewrite of another episode. Like, something, like, maybe they were originally going to have Hugh, like, instigate something on the cube.
Mm.
And if that had happened, that line would have made sense.
It would have made sense, yeah.
But that line made no sense at all, you know?
It really didn't.
No.
I saw your note there, and when I was rewatching, I was like, yeah, I still don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Still don't know.
Yeah. The only thing I can figure is that he had the wrong perception of what happened. And Seven of Nine, maybe she wants Picard to think that she's a better person than she actually is or something. He isn't correct. And for that matter, Elnor doesn't correct him either. So
I don't know why she would want that, though. I don't know why either. It was his idea to take over the cube. So
yeah,
maybe that's what they were talking about. It was his idea, and she was explaining to him why she did it, because Elnor summoned her because...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand why they would write things that need to be taken out anyway. I mean, yeah. Are they under budgetary constraints and they can't? They obviously shot the scene if they removed it later.
Yeah.
Now I'm talking about the whole explaining why Elnor had that thing and that it was Hughes, not Picard's. I'm like, why? I feel like these people who are doing this show are unaccustomed to the freedom that a streaming service can give you. And they're still locked into the idea of I have an hour time slot and 20 minutes of commercials thing. And so they're cutting stuff out when that's completely, absolutely unnecessary.
Yeah.
And you're making the show worse by doing that because you're losing things that we now don't understand. Why is this being like this? And I feel like this episode in particular probably is suffering from some of that. Or they took a super long episode 9 and decided to cut it into 2 and make it the finale, finale.
For that matter, it could have been the victim of, like, maybe this was going to be a 3-part finale, but when they mashed up the stuff around and
they expanded the first two episodes into three.
Maybe this was going to be a 3-parter.
I feel like it's so far, and I cannot see how the episode finale or the season finale is going to change this. So far, to me, this first season has seemed like a giant cluster. Honestly, it was way up and down, uneven first 3 episodes, strong-ish middle, and then now this.
Yep. Reminds me a lot of Fear the Walking Dead, but okay, not quite that bad. But
are you sure?
Well, you didn't see when it got really bad. Here's one thing, and then I'm gonna end with a big one. So we know from the novel that Raffi and Picard worked very closely together in trying to do the Romulan rescue attempt, up until the synth attack. So the scene where Raffi says, "I love you," to Picard, if you read the novel, works for me. However, I give you this a no, much like you would give this a no, because you said that you shouldn't need to depend upon works from another medium. This is an example here. I don't feel that this would work as well if you hadn't read the novel. So to me, it just kind of came out of nowhere. But my big one is, and I didn't even catch this on my first watch, the Romulans called Commodore O on a Romulan ship. Okay. Does she have a rank in the Tal Shiar or Jad Vash or whatever? Of course she does. We know that. It's also Commodore O? Really? So she's a dual Commodore in both the Romulan Free State, whatever they're, Tal Shiar, whatever, and Starfleet? Come on.
I don't know.
I just about dropped out of my seat when I saw this the second time. I'm like, are you serious? That was a huge slip up. All they had to say was O, or give her, call her General O or something. Like, geez.
Commander.
Admiral O. Done.
Commander O.
Something. Anything but Commodore. No way. Okay, so now do you have anything else?
No.
Beating that dead horse. Mm. Now with not good enough.
Not good enough, damn it! Not good enough!
It's bad.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying to be positive, but I just can't. There's too much wrong with this steaming pile of an episode. The reason why I'm so mad is because I am so disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah, and we take no pleasure in trashing an episode. And I'm still trying to figure out why did I give it an 8? I don't think it can be an 8.
I don't know.
I'm leaning more towards a 5 now.
Probably going to stick with my 4.
What? You gave it an 8.
I know, but I'm changing
peer my pressure.
Mind.
Okay, so 5 and 4. Here we go.
Peer pressure to give it an 8 because I didn't want to come right out of the gate with a 4.
No, it's okay.
All right. Anyway,
don't do that again.
So
speak listener, your mind.
Listener not getting up. James the Augmented Sailor says, where had Soong's son been? This needed to be fleshed out more. This needs to be fleshed out more. Not mentioning him ever in previous Trek is fine with me, but it really seems no one knew he existed. Has he been able to stay off-grid his entire life? How did he and Maddox meet? I need more input in my best Johnny Five voice.
Well, we already pretty much talked about this, or at least parts of this.
Yeah,
I totally agree. It's very much a retcon, like you said, Ruthie. I don't like it. Why couldn't it have been Maddox? Like, why didn't Maddox make an android of himself?
I don't know.
Like, that would have worked better.
Furthermore,
it would have made sense. But this doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
There's only one thing that makes sense out of it, and that's something I didn't bring up yet, so I won't do it until the end of the show, because it's a prediction. It's another prediction. Right. I already made one prediction.
I want to know where Maddox's lab was if it wasn't on this planet.
Somewhere else. It was all part of his secret planning.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't get it, though.
I don't know.
Jim from Florida says, I didn't like the utter lack of emotion on Hugh's death. It was a pity. Yeah, but you and Seven were supposed to be his friend, the only person to show he was happy to see you, who saw you like a father and even hugged you, and it was a pity? And Seven, who went to the cube to save him. So clearly they were friends, but nothing. A little more emotional connection would have been nice. I cannot disagree with that at all.
Me neither. It was rather glossed over. I mean, the episode was only 44 minutes. Surely they could have spent 5 minutes on talking about what a great guy Hugh was and how sad it was that he was dead.
Yeah, it reminds me of talking about T-Dog after T-Dog was dead.
Yep. Well, he did. All right, let's move on.
And my biggest not good enough is Jurati's free reign yet again. Okay, so she was being controlled by O, so she doesn't deserve a forced labor camp, but we do not know the amount of control O had or how much she was influenced. She may be forced to try to and kill again, at least keep her confined to her quarters. Well, I think that's what they were kind of trying to do, but I mean, she's actually useful to them. Like, mind you, if you're talking about her before that, like on the ship, yeah, I guess. But I think in terms of the synths here, she has a use, so they'd want to keep her around. Picard contacts Starfleet again. I know he doesn't get a hold of them, but there is no doubt now that O is a Romulan spy and the head of Starfleet security, yet he tries to contact them again. WTF is he thinking?
I don't know.
I mean, one thought that I had is that maybe they know that O's already heading there or something, but I don't know. I mean, maybe there was something there that some missed line or some missed scene, but I would agree with that. You would think that he would know that he wouldn't be able to, that they would have done something to block it. But then again, it was the synth that blocked it. They blocked it because they didn't want him to be able to contact. And for that matter, they didn't want to be contacted because they were, you know, trying to lay low, I guess. So I think that's what it was.
I guess it was Sutra, because the rest of them probably couldn't care less.
Yeah.
All right. Rick from Cleveland says, another not good enough for the Starfleet Delta scene in the mind meld. If the vision was of the admonition, a 200,000-year-old message, why are there Starfleet Deltas in it? For that matter, why is Data specifically in it? I don't know. That's a good question.
I think a lot of it... The thing is, I tend to think that the message was interpreted, like, so maybe it's not like something you press play and it plays this message. Maybe it requires some kind of interpretation or something,
some sort of frame of reference on the receiver's part.
Right.
Yeah, I could see that, but All right. This is not listed as a not good enough, but I guess we're putting it here.
It certainly seemed to fit.
He says, if they are going to transfer Picard into the synth golem body, that could be a jump the shark moment. I expect there will be some MacGuffin to resolve the Picard is dying thread, but synth Picard feels very wrong. That said, synth Picard is less off-putting than synth Alton Inigo soon.
And this is what I think is definitely going to happen. I think it's going to be synth Picard, and he's going to be an android. And
really?
Yeah, that was the thing I was going to bring up later. As soon as I saw it, I thought, that's how they're going to fix Picard. So I don't know. You know, then again, my other thought is that it was his Borg implants that screwed up his brain, and that Seven of Nine will be able to do something for him. That's another way that he could be fixed, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know at this point. If he's going to continue on this show, his brain needs to be fixed. Because at this point, I mean, I thought it was going to be 3 seasons of him dying and him dying a little more and dying him a little more. Maybe like the last few episodes, he'd be like in some kind of, you know, delirious, senile state or something, dementia. But I don't think that's what we're going to get, because it seems like they're suggesting that his death could happen at any point. Yet, except for, you know, this like random here or there where he goes a little off, seems to be okay.
So
I don't really understand this whole, you know, almost dying thing, because, you know, 99% of the time he's fine. One final one,
yeah.
Nick from Arizona, we needed a few more minutes with Soon and Girardi to set up the plant.
Plant?
Yeah, I don't know if this is a mistyped word. Maybe he means the transfer? I don't know. But yeah, okay. Well, we've already talked about my first not good enough, which was the whole Seven of Nine is going to be in the show thing. What do you have?
I think most of everything was really a no, not really a not good enough.
All right.
So I don't think I have any not good enoughs.
So we talked about this episode was shorter than it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that would have made it longer is if we actually showed damn flashback of the Ibn Majid, would have fit quite well in this, but we didn't get it. So
it would have, because we would have had Janna already in her makeup.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a missed opportunity.
Yeah. I think this was all part of his plan to Maddox to go to Bajazel, but it still doesn't make sense.
What was his plan exactly? That's what I don't understand. They keep talking about Maddox's plan. I'm like, well, what is Maddox's plan?
Maddox
really spelled it out.
Trying to figure out who was behind the synth attack, I guess.
What?
It doesn't make sense. I guess, you know, he knew that something was wrong, that someone was behind it. He knew that it couldn't have been the synths that were on Mars to attack, because they were simpletons. They, you know, they were single task type androids that, you know, knew a few things well. They weren't like sentient androids. That's what I understand, and that's kind of what was suggested in the show, and that's kind of stuff we see in the novel as well. But I don't know.
I don't see that he ever expressed, either in the book or the show, any kind of interest in figuring out who was behind the synth attack.
There was something he said just before he died to Picard, where he talked about someone was behind it, and he knew that the Romulans were involved, but didn't know how. So I still don't understand why he sent her to the Borg cube, but, you know,
I don't know either.
Yeah.
That
okay.
Doesn't make any sense.
So, couple final things. I could have done well without the decaying fox.
Mm.
I mean, they really need to show that. I mean, what was the point of that?
I don't know.
It seemed to go on for a long time. So why did it finally take us to get to Maddox's office to see a moving photograph? We've seen all these damn photographs that were just, you know, standard 1980s type of photographs.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
as though the technology had not improved since 1985,
and yet, you know, this is what, okay, maybe 1995, but still, because they're wide angle.
All right, fine.
But still, like, I just I don't get why now we're finally seeing something that we saw in Next Generation. Okay. This is something that we saw in Next Generation and Deep Space Nine in Voyager. So I don't understand. I like that we saw this. I just don't understand why we didn't see this for the first 8 episodes. We should have seen these kind of things all the way through.
Yeah. Well, you can't tear up a holographic moving photograph. So
here's the last thing for me is, so the Romulans are coming and you want to go to the Borg cube first instead of going to Synthville. That doesn't make a lot of sense either. Okay, they're worried about Elnor or whatever. Send a couple of you or something. But I would think that the urgency should be, yes, okay, they need the sensors, but didn't even know that they could have that. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Hand wave.
Yeah.
Weak. There wasn't a lot good in that. Terrible. Mike O'Shaybon, what did you do? All right. So
I don't know. I tell you what he did. He pulled a George Lucas.
All right. Let's finally get to feedback and open hailing frequencies. Okay. So our first bit of feedback for this episode, we've had 2 voicemails already, but we've got a voicemail for this episode from Jeff X-Force 11.
Hello, Star Trek fans. This is Jeff X-Force 11 leaving my feedback about the most recent episode of Star Trek Picard. I thought this was an interesting episode, but it just seemed too short to me. Yes, I know that this was a part one of a 2-part season finale, but it was so rich. I felt like they could have given us a lot more. It felt like a lot of things crammed in and trying to set up the season finale, but I would have liked a richer, longer experience of looking at how this world with these synthetics has come about and getting some more of the history instead of just jumping into this mutiny, so to speak. And I know that it kind of sets things off with maybe a 7 of 9 spinoff type of deal, and maybe that will happen in season 2. But like I said, I thought it was an interesting episode, but I just wanted more because I know we've got the season finale next week, and I just wanted to live in what we were seeing a little bit longer. I thought it was well shot. I thought it was well acted. But like I said, I just wanted to see a bit more that I think may get overrun with all the action that happens next week. All right, those are my thoughts. X-Force 11 out.
Yep, that pretty much sums it up, I guess. Jeff, thank you so much for your voicemail. Really appreciate it. And gotta say, I don't disagree with you at all.
Yeah, you're right. It was too short. There were a lot of missed opportunities. They could have done the Ibn Majid flashback. They could have done how the Synth Society started flashback.
Yeah, that's true.
None of that is as important as the end game, apparently, which is to write crap. I don't know.
If you couldn't already tell, we didn't like this episode. and it's also worth saying that we didn't really talk about it before we started sitting down. Like, we knew before, but we didn't, like, we each watched individually. We didn't, like, was no influencing going on. We came to these conclusions independent of each other.
Yep.
So, but yeah. So, okay, we got another voicemail. And this is from Edwin from Arizona.
Hello, Brian and Ruthie. This is Edwin from Arizona. I just had a quick feedback to episode 9. I loved it. I love Synthville. You know, I love the setup. And it's a lot to unpack and to predict. So I just want to make a prediction for the final episode. And I just want to hear your feedback. What do you think? I think it's going to end with the crew. Nobody's going to die, but the Synth, they're going to be pretty much eliminated, maybe, except for a few. The Romulans will probably be defeated. Starfleet will intervene. And I'm just having wishful thinking. Maybe this will set up next season for Picard to have his crew, kind of like he's the captain, Rios is the number one, Soji would be the Data, the only synth left. Ralph would be like the intelligent, kind of like the almost town clerk as well. And Eleanor would be like the muscle, like the warp. Yeah, I don't know. It's getting really close to the end. I thank you guys for letting me get feedback. And like I was saying in the Facebook, it's kind of like therapy to me. And thank you for, you know, having me be along with this journey. And we will see next week. And I hope to talk to you guys soon. All right, bye.
And I hope that you don't hate us after this episode.
I know. I'm sorry.
Anyway, thank you, Edwin, for your feedback. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. You know, and other people did too.
I know. And I'm so happy that you enjoyed it. I wish I did.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I saw quite a few people that agreed with us and quite a few that didn't. And a lot of the people that gave feedback this week really enjoyed this one. But I don't know. Maybe we're just too hung up on the whole mind meld thing, but it wasn't just that. If it was just that, that would have been one thing, but it was the orchids. It was the whole, like, oh, we're going to come in and destroy.
But the mind meld thing was enough.
Yeah, that was...
That was huge.
That was huge, the start.
Step.
Yeah, that was the start of the downfall. It's like everything went downhill from there.
The start was the orchids.
Okay. Like, yeah. Okay.
WTF the orchids, there.
Yeah. But even for me, I didn't mind what the orchids did. I think the problem was when they said they only had 15 of them and five of them just were used. So that now they're down to 10. That's when I had a problem with it. I didn't have a problem with it at the time. It was after. So.
All right. Wow.
Anyway, Edwin also left this. He says, am I the only one who didn't get spoiled at the guest cameo? I always fast forward through the credits or walk away at the opening. It's dry and boring to me. I guess it worked to my advantage. Well, see, I never walk away from the credits. So, yes, I knew that Brent Spiner was going to be in this episode, but I thought it was going to be another Data flashback or another android that was Data. I didn't expect another soon. So, I mean, it may have tarnished it a little bit, but not even, I wouldn't say it really had any effect on me.
I watched the credits and I was surprised. So how about that?
Yeah. Yeah. So
I didn't read all of them. I just watched the pretty graphics.
Yeah. You find it dry and boring. I really like it. It's kind of trippy, but I like it. Then again, I like the Discovery credits too.
So do I.
Yeah.
I like the music, but I only watch them once. I don't watch them again on my rewatch.
Yeah, yeah. I don't either.
Like, I gotta get down to brass tacks on my rewatch.
Yeah.
All right. So, there you go. I guess it did work to your advantage, but I didn't know it either. So, all right. Next, we have James the Augmented Sailor, who says, this episode wasn't quite as good as the last two, and I just realized that my rating this week is higher than last. I guess my ratings are now arbitrary. See, this is why I give arbitrary ratings. I can't keep track. Oh, gosh. He says, I did initially have a 9.6, but I later lowered it as certain aspects of the episode sunk in. I have a huge question that wasn't answered from last episode. Back when Seven created a mini collective years back, those drones weren't able to live without being linked after that. How did these XBs survive having her mini collective dissolve this time?
That's a good question.
Don't know. Maybe they had become, I can't remember how long the mini collective, if they had ever been free.
Yeah.
Before, I can't remember if they were liberated from the collective and then she made the mini collective and then they were freed again, or they just went from Borg Queen to Seven. I mean, maybe that's why. I don't know. I can't remember.
I mean, you could also think that maybe it's because the Romulans are better at being able to extract the Borg components. So maybe when they leave, they're not as, I don't know. Or maybe the connection wasn't kept long enough. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know that necessarily the Romulans are better at it because they seem to care less.
Yeah.
But maybe that in general, after a certain number of years, the ability to do so has improved. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I have no answers for you. I wish I did. He goes on to say, well, the cat's out of the bag. Picard's condition, though still yet unnamed, is terminal. I believe the overall arc of this show, when all is said, over however many seasons, will be Picard's death, which will devastate me, by the way.
I would agree with that.
Me as well.
Unless they circumvent it with an android body or some other Borg tech or hand wave.
Yeah.
Mind meld.
Well.
Somewhat a Vulcan Katra. Maybe Sutra can give an android Katra.
Oh my gosh. She just needs to go.
Yeah.
He says, I'm still curious to see if the ancient synths are actually ancestors of the Borg and that the race that created them was indeed Romulan. I can't believe this ride is almost over for the season. I don't know how they're gonna tie this all up in one more hour. We'll see how this plays out. Can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts.
Yeah, I don't think if the ancestors of the Borg, I don't think so.
I could see that, but I cannot see that the race that created them was Romulan.
Yeah.
That I don't believe.
I don't either.
I don't really believe the message, to be quite honest. So there you go.
Jim from Florida is next. He says, this episode was pretty good. If it wasn't for the return of Spiner and Picard fully acting like himself again, my rating would have been lower. I am truly hoping that the second part really blows me away. Well, let me tell you, Jim, I am too.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go but up, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, like when I compare this, you know, I didn't like episode 4. When I compare this one to episode 4 is a masterpiece in comparison.
Yeah, no kidding. Ugh. I'm hoping to be super wild next week as well. But, you know, all right. Comic Geek Kev says, once again, this show is proving to be amazing. First off, the cinematography and effects are spectacular, something right off a big budget movie screen. The scenes in space are amazing, both the battles and just the scenery. Everything involving the artifact was beautiful.
I'm going to stop you right there because I'm going to say that's a positive that I can give this episode. So
me too.
And it probably does weigh into the higher rating, and we didn't really talk about it much. But yeah, I would agree. The visuals are great. There was not a fault in acting, directing, or cinematography or effects for that matter. It was writing.
Yep. They did the most with what they were given. Unfortunately, they were given crap. But I agree. I thought the cinematography was pretty amazing. And yeah, the space flowers looked great. They just weren't very awesome, logistically speaking. All right. Second, this episode had some amazing performances from Stewart, Allison Pill, and Michelle Hurd. And of course, Issa Briones doing multiple characters. Well, two. She did two. That's it. What's his face doing? Five plus himself. So, I mean, not to shortchange her, but it was just two.
Right. She was good in those two.
She was really good in those
two. Yeah, I thought that her performance as Sutra was great, but you know, I don't necessarily like the character, but I think that her performance in the character was great.
Yeah.
And really, really different than what we've seen with Daj or Soji.
Yeah, totally different. The reactions of Hurd and Pill at the news of Picard's health was fantastic, as well as Pill when Sutra was preparing to mind meld with her. And the Picard-Raffi scene where he tells her he loves her. Everything was just so good. I can get behind that. Way to bring that silver lining, Comic Geek Kev. I appreciate you.
We could have used you about an hour ago.
I know. I know. Why didn't we see this sooner? Yes, I thought those performances were outstanding. Allison Pill, I think, did a fantastic job, especially when she finds out that the tricorder was fine.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
He says, or she, I don't know, goes on to say, I'm disappointed that this appears to be the last appearance of Seven, at least for this season, and I'm hoping to see more of Elnor in action, but I guess that's not looking good for this show. But it seems to be a nice setup for a Seven Elnor as Fenris Rangers series.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I think that's exactly what we're getting.
I could get behind that.
That exchange between Picard and Seven, that's what they're hinting at.
Yep. And then he literally walks into the light.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. All right. Although I suppose it's still possible to see more of them next episode, but I had heard Jerry Ryan only had 3 episodes. And of course, everything on the internet is true. It is.
Well, she's already had 4 episodes. So like.
So yeah.
Yeah. She was in 4, not very, very long, but she was there. 5. 8 and 9. So
yeah,
that's 4.
Like, everything on the internet is true. Like, he's a French model.
Bonjour.
Have you seen that commercial?
Yeah, I've seen
that
commercial.
That cracks me up. I don't watch the previews, so maybe we will see more of them. I hope so. I think I can see how this is going to play out, and whether I'm right or wrong, I can't wait to see it. Well, why don't you tell us what that is so we can all be excited? Gosh, don't hold it to yourself. We want to know, too. All right. Finally, overall, the show has been incredible. There have been a few wave of the hand moments, but I'm fine with that. I watch for entertainment and enjoyment. I know many people are way more into the minutiae. I just hope they can still enjoy the positive aspects of the show. I've watched other things with that kind of mindset and found that it just cut down on my enjoyment of it. So I try to keep a more open mind these days. Everyone involved with this show should be very proud.
You know, and it's probably worth saying that if this wasn't a Star Trek show, you know, or was based on some other thing, the things that we see in this wouldn't have affected us the way that it was. It just,
maybe,
I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that it just didn't seem to fit anything that we'd work with. And it's not a question of like us not being accepting something because it's different. It just didn't seem to work based on, especially the mind meld,
based on previous knowledge and already set up rules of the universe.
I could totally understand if Sutra, could have done a mind meld with some technological device. I would have had no problem with it at all.
Yeah.
But it was making it like it was a regular mind meld, like a Vulcan would do.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. It's like, and it was, like I said, I didn't have that reaction right from the onset. But once I realized it was over, and that's what it was, I was just like, how can this possibly be?
Yeah.
So anyway.
And I think I know what you're saying about more people being into the minutiae and stuff like that. And honestly, I have thought this before, but if you really want to ruin a show that you like, start podcasting about it because you pay attention way too closely. And I have to watch it multiple times. And sometimes when I watch it that second time, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think that that's true all across the board.
No, but sometimes.
Because there's a lot of stuff that I'll watch and I'll like it a lot more upon rewatch. So I don't know.
I am the opposite of that. I usually watch things one time, enjoy it, move on.
Yeah.
Unless I'm doing a rewatch of like the entire season or something. Right. But sometimes the more I talk about it, the more other people point out holes to me and I'm like, I wish you hadn't said that.
And I have a feeling that next week we're going to get a bunch of feedback that says that about the things that we brought up.
I hope so. I mean, I'm hoping that you guys talk us off the ledge. That's what I'm hoping.
Okay.
Please.
Yeah,
I want you guys to tell us how wrong we are. And why?
Yeah. However,
and come up with good reasons.
However, I don't want to spend the first 2 hours of the podcast. Okay.
Because how wrong we are.
Yeah. Because I just don't. I don't want that. So.
All right. So be brief.
Yes.
When you're telling us that we're wrong.
Yes.
Oh God.
So yeah.
Well, I'm very glad that you enjoyed it, Comic Geek Kev.
Yeah, and I'm very glad that everyone that did enjoy it. And, you know, hopefully you'll be able to convince us. But unfortunately, reading this stuff, other than you did on some of it, but it's still a big disappointment for me.
Yeah.
And to that end, we're going to read Wesley from Alabama. He says, I'm sorry, guys, but is this really the best story that they could come up with? There's flashes of greatness, but I'm just not digging this plot line. It's muddled and anorexic at best. It's almost like they began with, how can we make a character that's been dead for 20 years be relevant to our story, and then rigged a story around that? I know I'm probably in the minority on this one, and I'm really glad we're getting two more seasons of it. I'm just hoping for an original story that doesn't try to shoehorn in the past to drive the plot forward. I mean, honestly, do we really need another Soon appearance just for the sake of having Brent on the show?
You don't have to apologize, because I was also really, really disappointed.
And I'll say that the Soon appearance was not the thing that disappointed me. I mean, I didn't think it was needed, but that was far from the things that I didn't like. Some of them were original. Just because something's original doesn't mean it's good.
Too true.
Yeah.
Just because it's old doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah. Next.
All right. Next, we have Brian from Hawaii, who says, Sutra seems pretty devious, almost lore-like. She helped Narek to kill one of her own kind just so she could manipulate public opinion to the side of signaling the advanced synthetic race to come help them, aka destroy biologicals. She also really burned Picard when she quipped something to the effect that she would actually follow through with rescuing people, unlike him. I think it's clear that Sutra is really the destroyer and that Soji is the one who is faced with the decision whether to challenge her.
Definitely.
Yeah. It wasn't quite clear to me what Agnes was staying behind to do and why this warranted not being put under arrest like Picard. Does it have something to do with that body Soon showed her? I have a feeling she's either going to transfer Soong's mind into that body and he'll look somewhat like Data, or she'll transfer a backup copy of Maddox into the body. Ooh, that would be cool.
Or Picard.
Yeah, that would be less cool.
Rick from Cleveland is next. So we see a majority of the earlier synths with Data's complexion. Are these synths full android or are they biological like Soji? That's a good question, actually. And
I don't know.
Yeah, I think...
I wonder why they made... I mean, it seems like there's a division between... Well, at least Sutra seems like she has a division between... This isn't very well fleshed out. I'm thinking of it right now. Sutra seems like the kind of person who would have something against those androids who look more human, like
she Soji. She does. And that is that Janna was killed, her twin.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but why did they make androids who look more human, who have the more human looking skin, rather than the golden type of complexion that Data has?
I don't know. I wonder. I mean, they certainly didn't need to, but, you know, then again, why did they need to make them look human at all? I mean, really,
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Why did they not all of them have the golden complexion? Or was that part of Maddox's thing?
I don't know. Like, what I tend to think is that the earlier models, like, these are like multi generations of these models, right? Of synths. Right. So Soji and Daj were from a later version where they get the skin right. And, you know, have the full flesh and blood. And, you know, we never really learn how they did that in this, but we see that these other androids are more like Data. Like, I think Sutra looks just like Data, has the same kind of skin, and probably, you know, if she has her arm taken off or something like that, she probably has an off switch. Why can't they just turn the off switches off? If that's the case.
Her skin is a lot darker than Data's, though.
Well, okay, but it's reminiscent of.
Still golden. Data.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why they were made like that. And I guess maybe the ones who look like Soji are probably biological like Soji.
Right.
Otherwise, why would they look like her? I don't know. All right. Rick says, I initially thought that perhaps some of these synths were made from Lore's neurons. My thinking was that Data only acted with malice toward others when influenced by Lore, as in Descent or by the Borg Queen in First Contact. Sutra especially acts very much like Lore, but I realized it's deeper than that. It's about emotions, fear, compassion, anger, all things Data was only capable of with his emotion chip. All these synths are capable of it, making them willing to destroy all organic life to protect themselves. Data, conversely, willingly sacrificed himself to protect others.
Yeah, I mean, the point about Sutra especially acts very much like Lore, I can't disagree. I mean, maybe...
I think she's made from his neurons. I still think somehow he's there.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. I feel like this is, I don't know about the rest of them though. I mean, certainly Arcana and Saga seemed
right
very much more like Data
right
than Sutra. And right. I was watching the Ready Room and Issa Birona seemed to say something about, you know, or she didn't seem to say, she said, everybody there has a pair and except for her.
Right.
Until Soji got there. So she's like, you know, this is affecting her negatively, I guess. But I feel like it's more than that, honestly. I don't know. I don't know. It seems more than that to me.
It does seem very lore-like, though. It seems like there's something.
It's not just grief. It's being manipulative.
Right.
And letting Narc go.
And killing another android, you know.
Yeah.
Pin aside,
right.
method of
destruction, yeah. Notwithstanding.
Maybe that model of synth wasn't very sturdy. I don't know.
Maybe that was its vulnerable spot.
You know, okay, so here's something I didn't even think of. Now, maybe these androids are so much like humans that a poke in the eye, straight through the eye, would be enough because their human tissue or your synthetic tissue or whatever is the thing that dies.
Maybe
that's what it is. I hadn't thought of that until that very moment, but maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
All right. Moving on. LT from NC says, I enjoyed the scene of the ships coming out of the transwarp conduit. I really like seeing the cube come out after it looked like the snakehead fighter was going to have an edge on La Serena. I forgot who always talked about it, but they have seatbelts. Smiley face. Yes, that was something that I should have talked more about, that they had seatbelts. I thought that was nice to finally have instead of the rocking around. It was good to see the XBs and Elnor and Seven because they will always be the wildcard cavalry. The notion of the synthetic colony was pretty cool, and I liked how they were all in pairs. Seeing Brent Spiner as a Soon was good and not wholly unexpected. No matter how good Bruce was, it always seems to require a Soon to make it work. I thought it was cool to see Sutra, but she is really giving off a Lore vibe, which ended up playing out as the episode went on. I will say that I did like seeing Issa Briones in the gold paint. So despite my...
No!
This time, now we know that the admonition is a message and a warning. Sidebar, since she's running the Romulan fleet, can we surmise that Commodore O isn't working with Clancy? Well, she's probably not working with Clancy anymore. Be my take. So my Sutra / Lore vibe got another boost when they found the sister with her brooch in the eyeball. You know, I want to blame old toothy Romulanister. Romulanister. But I have a feeling she is the more eviler of the two. It does definitely seem that way.
I agree. I think that she's the one that offed her so-called sister.
Yeah.
And I feel like she just let him go so that she could blame it on him.
You know, I just had a thought here that, you know, you've got the XBs and you've got these synths, and they're both marginalized. Like, to me, instead of killing off the synths or all organics, you know, these two would be good to work together to, because they're both technological, they're both, you know, marginalized. It seems like a match made in heaven that they could like build a world together. Mm-hmm. And unify. I don't know if that's what they're going with, but
like chocolate and peanut butter,
kind of. And they could appreciate each other or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or start another Borg collective that's more synth like. I don't know. No, not that.
Oh gosh.
Okay, so now we get some questions from Nick from Arizona. And if you don't understand, Nick is visually impaired, so he's asking for like a visual kind of thing for us. First question, what do all these androids look like? Anyway, Soji looks pretty much human.
Yep.
She can pass for human in pretty much every way. Yeah, I mentioned that she had, you know, very like porcelain kind of face, like features, you know, but still looking like someone you could see. So definitely, even though kind of perfect, also very human looking. So, but these other ones, a lot of them look like Data, or they have eyes like Data, you know, some darker, some lighter, some were bald, some were look very human skin, some look more alien.
They had golden skin.
Yeah, they also had some like long-haired ones. They had bald ones, they had long-haired ones, they had all types. So,
yeah,
they didn't look the same, put it that way.
Nope.
Space orchids, where did they come from? What happened? Indeed, what did happen?
Oh, yes. They just kind of appeared.
Yeah, I guess they came up from the surface or something. Or
something.
Were there and just opened up, but they opened up and swallowed the ships. And then they dragged them down somehow.
Yeah, which I didn't understand.
And burned up in the atmosphere. Hence our befuddlement about the fact that it's like, why would they build a one-time use defensive weapon?
I don't know.
Doesn't make sense.
Nope, it does not.
So like a one-time satellite made of orchids.
Yeah.
I don't get it. There's nothing about that I get. 0.0. What did the cube do when it appeared? How did it look when it showed up?
It looked pretty badass.
Yeah. It looked mostly like a Borg cube would, with you still saw a force field. So it looked pretty much operational, pretty close.
Yeah. It showed up right before the flowers did, so it didn't really have time to do very much.
Right.
But it showed up out of the transwarp conduit. So that's why it looked pretty like.
Well, something Picard said about like creating their own transwarp conduit or something. I didn't understand that.
What?
He said something about you created your own transwarp conduit. So I don't know how they would do that, but
I did not hear that. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, maybe I misheard it, but it was something like that I thought I heard.
I don't know. You'll have to find it and tell me.
Okay. Did you think the cube or Narek's ship was going to do something?
Like what? Like what? What something?
I'm not sure what you mean. Narek's ship was fighting.
I kind of think they were going to do something.
Yeah. Narek's ship was fighting with them. We certainly thought that the Borg cube was, you know, coming to the rescue, and I believe it did.
Yeah.
But it, crashed down.
Didn't
I think
have time to do anything.
Yeah. Like, I think what happened is like one of the orchids grabbed Narek's ship. The other one grabbed La Serena's ship. And then three of them got on the Borg cube and, you know, somehow got it to land. I don't know. It was very confusing. They didn't really show specifically that detail. So
yeah,
they showed La Serena going down, but they didn't show anything else.
Yeah.
Did you think Narek really got the location originally, or did you think he was tracking La Serena to actually locate the planet now after bluffing Soji that the Zhatvash already were going there?
I think he really did get the location from Soji.
Yeah.
But I don't know how he followed them.
Yeah, I don't know either. Okay, so that's it for feedback. So it's just our notes now.
Yay.
All right, what do you have?
So initially when I thought when Picard was saying thank you for coming, everyone, that he had been taken over and someone was speaking through him. But alas, that turned out not to be the case. I was disappointed. So I think Soji, I really do think that there is a lore set of androids and a data set of androids, because Soji thinks that they will be like Data, open-minded, unprejudiced, free of bias. But Sutra, who appears to be their leader, certainly wasn't.
Okay, so the planet is called Coppelius, and this is named after Dr. Coppelius in the comic ballet Coppelia. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but Dr. Coppelius makes a life-size dancing doll called Coppelia. So that's the where the name came from, according to Shaban. I thought that was interesting. Alton Inigo Soong, AI.
Oh, deep.
I haven't had a chance to use that.
That's funny. So I feel like I remember her saying this, but I didn't really catch it on my second watch. But did Agnes say something about not having the info firsthand, that she just had it secondhand?
Yes.
Okay. I thought so. And so, therefore, by the time Sutra gets it, it's third hand.
Right. Exactly.
So maybe something was lost in translation or something. I don't know.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. And that's all that I have, except for the other thing I'm going to bring up. But I'm going to bring that up into the next section instead.
All right. Do you think Soong was manipulating Agnes?
Possibly.
I kind of think he was.
Yeah. Then again, you know, it's like, what does she have to lose? Like, she's just going to go to jail, basically, you know, Federation prison. So,
yeah,
you know, if she's got another life here.
So I guess it turns out that Rios was right. He doesn't trust them.
He's right not to trust them.
Yeah. What exactly do you think Sutra promised Narek other than just to let him go? Because I don't think he killed Saga.
What did
she say? I don't think he killed Saga. I think she killed Saga.
That's possible. I thought that maybe he did it. But then again, because, I mean, we see him look at the brooch or pin or whatever. So maybe that. But then again, how would he know that that would work? So I don't know. But my thought was that he killed Saga. But I don't know. Obviously, I think that the reason why she had Narek do that was to rally the troops.
Right.
Basically, it was, you know, to manipulate them into doing her dastardly plan.
Right. But it seemed like she was bargaining with him or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to let you go, but I'm going to blame this on you.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe he did kill Saga, but I don't know. Anyway, in any case, I still didn't like him. So I'm just going to say this as my parting thought. I did not like Sutra from the moment she appeared on screen, twitching her little hips. She seemed off to me, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. But I don't know what it was. I just thought, there's something wrong with that girl. Like the minute I saw her on screen, I was like, nope. I don't know what it was, but I was just like, she just had an evil twitch to her hips, I guess. I don't know. She seemed like she was trying to be feminine, wily, manipulative.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't really necessarily work on Picard, but right. She didn't know that. But anyway, whereas the rest of them did seem like they were open and honest and all that kind of stuff and curious, you know, like Arcana when she was
right
touching Picard's face and stuff. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. All I know is I don't like it right now.
Yeah. They were manipulated and they were manipulatable, I guess. But the one question I would have that I didn't even think of until you brought that up is, why was Picard by himself there?
Mm-hmm.
Like
he was drinking water.
He was drinking water, but why was he by himself? Why was he the only one there and the rest of them were talking? I didn't get that.
I don't know.
Didn't make sense to me.
I did feel bad for Elnor, though. Poor thing.
Yeah.
He was very sad.
Yeah, he was. All right, so let's move on to shipwide announcements. We talked about the ready room already, but it featured Issa Briones, and I was really surprised that there was no sneak peek.
I know! I was mad about that, too!
Yeah.
Ugh, all around disappointment this week. That's what I say. No sneak peek. And I really thought he was going to do it, and then he just didn't. And I was like, okay, I can understand why you won't have it next week, but this week? Yeah. I was disappointed.
The Star Trek Picard podcast from Deadline featured Jeri Ryan and Akiva Goldsman this week. And I have to admit, other than the fact that there was a sort of hint that something was going on with Jeri Ryan and the character, it wasn't a very good episode. It hardly talked about this episode at all, so I didn't think it was very good. Normally, you know, if you get the producers together, whatever, the actors, you'd think they would talk a little bit about the episode, but they mostly gushed about Jeri Ryan on the episode. So, yeah. But I did get a lot of good stuff, and I say I because it's I, me, got a bunch of stuff from Michael Chabon. So we've talked about this. Michael Chabon has been answering questions from his Instagram account, and I was on there right away Thursday morning, and I started asking him questions, and I didn't stop. Okay, so here's the first question I asked him, and he gave me a big answer. So this is one of the longest answers that I saw him write, and he wrote a lot. It wasn't just, these are just the ones that I asked him, not the ones that other people asked. Although I think I did bring one of those in because I thought it was interesting. I asked him, how did you come up with the names of the characters in Picard, the Data relatives especially? Here's what he said. It became clear that at a certain point in the history of Capellius Station, coincident with the moment when synths first began to create synths, they began also to regard Data as a kind of quasi-legendary ancestor. Synth-made synths took their own names, named themselves, unlike Daj, Janna, Soji, and other Soon/Maddox models, and many elected to honor their ancestor and his heritage by choosing names that alluded to the principle established by the names Data and Lore, i.e. bodies of text or information, such as Arcana, Saga, Codex, Mythos, Epic, etc. Sutra and the late Beautiful Flower were among the first gen synths who chose to rename themselves. Sutra in honor of Data Lore, Beautiful Flower, self-designated first ambassador, plenipotentiary of Capellius, followed his own muse as always. Interesting. Mm. Next question. How can an android mind meld? Wasn't this something tied to Vulcan physiology? I had to ask that question.
Yeah.
So Vulcans have always led us to believe, as a physiological effect, it could be synthesized, or rather, the physio-anatomical basis can be synthetically reproduced.
Wrong! Sorry, Michael Chabon, you're wrong.
I am curious why you didn't have Daj do the head tilt in Season 1, Episode 1, Remembrance. Too obvious? Now, if you remember, listeners, I brought this up last week. The head tilt only works once we aren't trying to hide the twins' synthness from the audience and Picard anymore. Then it becomes something they're in on with us. Okay. Next question. Why did Maddox leave the colony? His answer? To execute his plan. Okay.
What was his plan?
And here's one that was, I called question adjacent. In other words, I don't believe that this was exactly my question, but I asked a question that was pretty much exactly the same. It just wasn't the wording of my question. So I consider that a win. So if Alton was the son of Juliana and Noonien Soong, why did she say she never had children? Oh, Alton's too old to be the son of Juliana. No. Before Juliana. Okay. Also, question adjacent. What's required for non-Vulcans to do mind melts? Brain functions that mimics or can be modified to mimic that of Vulcans, for one. Now, the question that that's adjacent to is the earlier question that I brought up. That question was mine. This question wasn't mine, but it was obviously related, so I took it. Next one, Orcids fall into the atmosphere on purpose to damage the ships. Wasn't sure why that happened. Dragged down, forced to land was his answer.
I'm not sure that's better.
No.
I'm sorry, but he's just wrong about the mind melds. Yes, it's a physiological effect, but it's a physiological effect that can't be replicated.
Right.
It can't be synthesized. It's not a physiological effect of, I have strong muscles, therefore I can lift a lot. That's not that kind of physiological effect.
Yeah.
It's a... My brain has... Anyway, I can't talk about this anymore.
Anyway, so I did pretty good for you guys getting all those questions answered. If you want to answer his question, what you have to do...
Ask
a question. You have to be a member of Instagram, have an account, and I have an account, but I never post there ever. I'm only there to ask questions and respond to stuff, but I never post anything there.
I have an Instagram account too, but I don't know why I set it up. I never use it ever.
Yeah. Anyway, you sign up to his account and he posts them as stories. And the very first one, it has a thing to ask a question. And you have to use that because I discovered that the questions that I tried to ask him before, like about the 47, turns out that they weren't asked that way. And I did not realize that it's those questions that have to get asked that way. And if you don't have that, like after a while it goes away, you can't ask it that way anymore. So my 47 questions, I think, just fell into the ether. So next week, that'll be the first question that I bring up is what's the deal with the 47s? And I'll try to ask it 47 times. No, I won't. I think that was annoying. Okay. Well, anyway, that's it. Little shorter episode this time, and thank you for
which you're probably all grateful for.
Yeah, because we're sorry, you know.
I'm sorry.
We are.
I wanted to like it. I just didn't. Disappointed.
And unfortunately, it wasn't one of those situations where one of us was able to talk the other one off the ledge because we were both on the ledge.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't you tell people how to contact us?
All right. Please submit your theories and feedback by going to talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. You can give us text or audio there, or you can leave us a voicemail at 216-232-6146. You can send us an email, and our email is picardcast@talkthroughmedia.com. Or you can post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/StarTrekTTMpodcasts. Again, the deadline for season 1, episode 10 will be Friday, March 27th, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Mountain, 11 p.m. GMT. If you miss the deadline, send it anyway. We don't know when we'll read it again because we won't have a regular episode the next week, but it will get it at some point in time. So please do your best to get us the feedback on time. We may extend the deadline, maybe, but don't count on that.
Don't count on that. Not this time. Because we will be back with other episodes of this. We're not gonna do like we did with Discovery. At least I hope we don't record a 6-hour episode.
Yeah,
because what we did on the last season of Discovery for the finale is we intended to do only one episode, but we recorded an episode and ended up 6 hours 6 minutes raw.
Yeah, it was long, but it was so good.
Yes, it was good, but I ended up having to split it up into three.
Yeah.
Which
that's also because we had a different network.
Yeah, so. We were on a different network, but also I think for something that long, it made sense to split it up. But and it was the end of the season too, so it's like I could send them out every few days or something. But when it's in the middle of the season, I just want to do one because it doesn't seem to people that it would be more work, but it is more work because you have to publish the episodes, you have to promote the episodes, all that stuff. It just takes it's double the time when you split them up. So that's why we do a big, long episode. But anyway.
So please try and get us your feedback on time.
Yeah.
Do your best.
Our Twitter is at PicardCast, and a great way you can support us is to share what we post on Twitter and Facebook. And the stuff that's in the Facebook group, you can't share, but we post our episodes at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. If you haven't already liked that page, please like it. Okay. So we would ask all the members of the Facebook group, if you haven't already done so, to like it. And that's also a place, especially if you don't belong to Apple Podcasts or some other client that allows you to do it, it will let you write a review for the network. Okay. But you can say specifically you like us. So on there. Anyway, share those posts and share our tweets. That will help get the word out when the post is out. You can subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or the podcast client of your choice while you're there in Apple Podcasts, or if your whatever client allows you to do it, if they can let you do a review there, like for example on Stitcher, please do that for us. We didn't get any reviews this week. You can also support us. Our Patreon is at patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. Your support would be helpful. It starts at just $1 a month. You can get extra episodes. Our next Patreon episode will be discussing Star Trek Picard, The Last Best Hope. And we have something special planned. What is there anything that we can tell the listeners about that yet? Or we have to wait?
If they have paid attention to Twitter, they might already know.
That's yes. Okay. So go to our Twitter. There was a certain...
My Twitter.
Oh, it was your Twitter. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine, though. Okay. If they go to our Twitter, they can find me.
Yeah, and I think we were originally on there.
I don't tweet very much, so it's easy to find.
Okay. Anyway, point being that we've been talking to someone that may join us, a very special guest. So...
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah. Anyway, we would like to thank our Patreon supporters, James Robbins, Lawrence Todd, Fred Petrie, Clint McCollum, Kyle McAdams, Kim Vogel, Brian Shiro, Christoph Lechleitner, Jeff Biacco, Lee Radke, Aaron Mays, Michael Carrier, and our newest patron, Stephen Chambers, who joined up this week. And just mention, you know, especially since we're getting down to the end of Picard, the episodes for this podcast are also found on the Star Trek Discovery podcast. If you are not subscribed to that and you watch Star Trek Discovery or are considering it, you might want to join up to that, because we won't be posting posting the Discovery episodes on the Picard feed. So we may change that, although if we're doing that, I don't know why we would consider having continue having two feeds. But anyway, point being, Discovery, when it comes back, they'll be on that feed. Our next episode is for the season finale, season 1, episode 10, titled Et in Arcadia Ego Part 2. This one is written by Michael Chabon. He doesn't co-write it or whatever. It's not one of those. It's fully by him. Directed by Akiva Goldsman. And I had a prediction before that I already gave, I guess, that I think Picard may get Golem, but we had another thing. I put it in here, and after looking at it now, maybe I shouldn't have, but Jim from Florida, if you were wondering why we didn't bring this up, this is why, because it was based on the preview. You said, has Zo left Starfleet in the last episode? In the preview, we see her on a Romulan ship, so she has dropped the ruse? Or did Starfleet find out the truth because of Picard and she was forced to flee? Or is Starfleet still in on the synth destruction, which is why Picard can't contact them? Your thoughts? Thanks.
I thought she was on the ship at the very end of the episode.
She was. And that's partially why I'm thinking that wasn't necessarily needing to be here. But I don't know. I tend to think that she fled.
Fled?
Fled. Yes, she fled. And she had fleas, so she fled. Anyway, but yeah, I don't know. I tend to think we're still going to see Starfleet. I wouldn't be shocked if we see the Riker on the USS Titan. I would love to see that. Don't know if we will, but we'll see. And yeah, I can't think of anything else to say other than we'll talk to you next time. I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
Peace and long life.
Live long and prosper.